This month marks the 40th anniversary of one of Mississippi's most notorious civil rights murder cases. On June 21, 1964, three civil rights workers, James Cheney, Michael Schwerner, and Andrew Goodman, were in Mississippi for Freedom Summer, a series of marches, sit-ins, and boycotts. They were killed after traveling to Neshoba County to investigate the burning of a black church. Federal agents identified a local group of Ku Klux Klansmen as the killers, but no one has ever been charged with murder in the case. Today, people in Neshoba, black and white, are grappling with their community's legacy. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports.
For decades, there's been an uneasy silence hanging over Philadelphia, the Neshoba County seat. Some say what happened here is so troubling that you dare not speak about it.
It's been sitting there for 40 years, and it's an unacknowledged guilt.
Jim Prince is editor and publisher of the Neshoba County Democrat, and now he co-chairs a special task force charged with marking the 40th anniversary of the murders. On this night, the multiracial group has gathered at the Mount Zion United Methodist Church, the last place the three young men were seen before being arrested by a local sheriff's deputy.
It's some pretty strong emotions here. It's a minefield in many ways, what we're doing, but I think that what we're finding is that getting this out into the open has been a very important step for a lot of people.
What we're doing now, I wish would have happened a long time ago. I'm Dawn Lee Chalmers. I'm 34 years old, and in my travels, I was always a little bit, not ashamed of being from Philadelphia, Mississippi, but there was a shame involved, even though I had nothing to do with it or anybody I knew had anything to do with it, because I grew up in a...
I'm Stanley Dearman, former editor of the Neshoba Democrat for 34 years. We've lived with this event, this civil rights murder case, for 40 years, but it won't go away. There has to be a renewed call for justice in this case to make sure that the people still around who did this be held accountable.
My name is Elsie Kirksey. I'm 46 years old, and I'm a lifetime member of Mount Zion United Methodist Church and of Neshoba County. And working on the task force is just like everybody just pour their heart out, and you just wouldn't believe this is going on in Neshoba County, but it does. People are doing it by choice, not because they're made to do it.
My name is Fenton DeWeese. I'm 55 years old. I'm really here for several reasons. Primarily, I have a debt to pay. And I believe at my age, when that occurred and I observed all that around me, I think that I captured all of that in my memory banks. I feel like I can't be anywhere else but here, or I will be failing in our responsibility to honor the deaths of these three young men.
James Cheney, Michael Schwerner, and Andrew Goodman were in Neshoba County on June 21, 1964, because of what happened earlier that week at the Mount Zion Church. Night Riders had attacked church members and set fire to the building. Task Force member Jewel Rush McDonald was there.
It seemed like it was just yesterday, and I was 18 years old. And just seeing my mom and my brother beaten, bloody, you know, it's just something that you just don't want to see.
The civil rights workers vanished after their run-in with sheriff's deputies that night. The FBI and national press descended on the East Mississippi town. But for many white citizens, it just didn't seem real. They called it a communist hoax. 44 days later, reality set in when the three were found buried beneath an earthen dam.
I remember sitting in my grandmother's living room, watching a black and white TV, seeing them take the bodies out of the back of the car.
Deborah Posey, a white woman, was 9 years old at the time. For years, she accepted the argument that the civil rights workers somehow deserved their fate.
But as I grew older, my husband at the time spoke some things to me that I didn't understand about, you know, Schwerner and Goodman and Cheney, about them being hippies or druggers or long-haired, you know, long-haired hippies was basically the words that he gave me. And, you know, I was ignorant and didn't know any better, so I believed him.
She started to question those assumptions a few years ago when, for the first time, she saw a photograph of the dead men.
And saw that they were very clean-cut young men and didn't understand, you know, was just confused and didn't understand. And very ashamed of this area, to be honest. Be ashamed of my county because I've lived here all my life. I was raised here, born here. Anyway, as I grew older and I realized a lot of the truth.
Embracing that truth and candidly talking about it with other task force members has been liberating, she says.
And I was just floored. Because, honestly and truthfully, I did not think that there was people in this county that wanted justice. That wanted the redemption of this county and this land.
Neither did Jewel McDonald. She left Mississippi in 1964 and stayed away for 30 years.
After being back here, it has changed a great deal. The people are much better now. They're much nicer. They go out of their way to try to be nice.
But being nice and acknowledging what happened here 40 years ago are two different things. And that's something this group is trying to address by publicly apologizing and calling for those responsible to be brought to justice.
I think it would have been much better had my mom and my brother been able to see a difference. They're both passed away, and they both died without knowing that someone would be punished for this. You know, I mean, I'm not for, say, a person 90 years old or whatever, sending them to jail, but just stand up and recognize what you did.
Some of the suspects have died, but others are still around Neshoba County today, most notably Edgar Ray Killen, the alleged leader of the Klan Clavern that chased down the civil rights workers, took them to a quiet county road, and shot them. Killen lives down that road in a wood frame house with tomatoes planted in the side yard. He refused to speak with NPR. For years, Killen and other suspects, including former Deputy Sheriff Cecil Price, have been going about their business in the community, no one really talking about what they were accused of doing. Fenton DeWeese remembers how conflicted he felt when Price helped out during a family crisis.
The first year that my daughter went to public school education, the first day she was to get on the bus, they let her get on the wrong bus. Well, it went out on the police radio. I found out later, Cecil Price and his wife were out looking for my daughter. Now, tell me you can square that. I can't square that. But I was grateful for that. But I'm still calling for justice.
Price had reportedly begun to cooperate with state authorities who reopened the investigation a few years ago, but he died in 2001. No indictments ever came. Some people here think it's too late for prosecutions now.
But do you think that we can get justice after 40 years with a bunch of old senile men, most of them dead and gone?
76-year-old Barney Shepherd is among those in the white community who say it's time to leave Neshoba County's most notorious crime in the past.
It's over, said, and done. And it's best that way. There's nothing you can do about it anymore. And let's get on with our lives. That's what I'm saying.
But others argue the county can't move on until there's a local reckoning. And it's starting to happen in small ways now. For example, the county's new African-American travel brochure.
We wanted somebody to be able to pick it up at a welcome center, and we thought it was a heritage tour, but we wanted it to be a driving tour so that somebody could come into town and not have to have a tour guide, but be able to go and find sites on their own.
Tourism official Brenda Vowell says there are directions to the Mount Zion Church, the old county jail, and the remote road where the three civil rights workers were murdered. Actively encouraging people to visit the places that have caused the county so much shame is a bold move, Vowell says. For years, the history of Neshoba County's racial violence was hush-hush, not taught in schools or talked about in upstanding white families. Pee people at Mount Zion have led unofficial heritage tours for years, and the church has a memorial service each year to mark the anniversary of the killings. At a friends and family gathering on the church grounds last month, 73-year-old Orishia Steele reflected on how much Neshoba County has changed.
I used to hear my granddaddy talk about how to hang them up on the limb. Thank you, Jesus. You don't find that no more face. I used to hear my granddaddy talk about it. Him and this other man would back on their horses, would back up to the tree and cut this man down. He would be hanging on that tree with his eyes popped out, tongue hanging out, and his neck broke. I thank God. I just thank him that it has changed.
Steele is proud that the county has come so far in her lifetime and welcomes the recent effort at reconciliation.
They're giving us a sign that they are sorry. That's what I gather.
But Steele observes that it's a new generation making the overtures. She's skeptical that many people of her age in the white community, who were adults in 1964, are so open to mending the racial divide.
I don't believe that they will come together and love me as I am your sister.
That would take a change in the heart, Steele says, something she hopes and prays for in Neshoba County, Mississippi.
Take me to be a human being. I'm not a dog. You be kind to a dog, too. Love me. Don't hate me. I don't hate you. I have God in my heart. That's the way I want Neshoba County to be. Love from corner to corner, from side to side. The whole Neshoba County.
Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
There are more reflections from Neshoba County residents and photos of Neshoba then and now at our website, npr.org.